You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey theatre fans, welcome and thanks for tuning in. This is just a quick heads up for everyone with warning triggers around this topic. This episode does contain conversations about rape and sexual assault, so please, please, please be careful as you listen through. Enjoy, and we will see you on the other side.
Theatre fans, one and all, welcome back. We are here with another episode of the We Are Theatre podcast, and we're sticking with Jagged Little Pill. And today we're with Grace, who's playing Bella in the Australian cast. How are you going, Grace?
I'm good. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. Now, you're in the middle of tech now, but by the time this episode's released, you'll be midway through your first 2 weeks. How crazy is that?
That is me. During this tech process, I'm like... we got like 10 more days and this is on stage. Cool. Yep, that's happening.
Crazy stuff. So we'll get into the show in a second. First of all, how did you get into theater? What was your track to being where you are right now?
So I started theater when I was like 4. I remember just like my mom telling me that I sang at a school, like a school thing one day, and one of the mums came up to her and was like, oh my God, you've got to get her into theatre. And basically it was just the passion kind of started from there. Went through high school doing music theatre. I went on to study at BAPA for a little while, but left just because I think I was at a different stage and just wanted to explore other avenues of my life. And then I got back into it at the start of this year at Showfit in Melbourne, and just was so inspired by all of the teachers and students there. And then Jagged just kind of happened and fell into place, which is so cool.
With that, you book your first show. So how is that kind of getting into that professional realm and getting that first show under the belt?
It's been a very overwhelming experience. I think coming out of 2 years of lockdown in Melbourne, it's been like brain kind of overload, but it's also so exciting. Like I think to be a part of this show as my debut is like unreal. I just think with all of the themes in the show and how deeply I connect to my Bella, it's just very exciting.
I love that. I love you brought up themes, because that's been a hot topic for me, because I've seen this show on Broadway. And like, it's, as I said to Liam the other day, I don't think any other show could cover as many themes in one show as this one does. Like, if you were to be like, hey, we're covering the 10 things or plus that we cover in this show and just put that on paper to people, everybody would be like, you're trying to do too much. But somehow the show...
It all works so perfectly. And like... I remember like watching the show kind of come together, because I didn't know a hell of a lot about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with Alanis Morissette's music, it's like, oh, this story comes in and that story comes in. It just flows amazingly.
Just works really weirdly. Like, it just all comes together and it works really, really nicely.
Right? I'm jealous that you've seen it, because there's been some bootlegs going around, but I tried to steer clear and keep an open mind about how I wanted to enter the process and keep an open mind towards the characters. And now watching it all kind of come together, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah, 100%. And you play Bella. So can you give everyone a quick snapshot of who Bella is and her place in the show?
Yep. So Bella is 17-year-old high school girl. She's, had a difficult upbringing with family and is really drawn to Nick and has also grown up with Nick. She's one of the boys kind of girls. And throughout the process, I think, she's sexually assaulted by one of her friends, which is all too common. Yeah. And, there's a support network for her there to open up and be open about this story. That's just a, kind of quick snapshot of it.
I think Bella, she doesn't play, compared to someone like Frankie, who's a part of, 14 million different plot points. Bella's kind of on this one track the whole time.
She stays in her lane. Yeah. She's staying in her lane very, it's very, in the show, it's very Nick and Andrew are the mates.
Yeah. How was it for you to kind of figure out Bella's journey and put the research into how to portray Bella the right way, but also feel the emotion of what she's going through?
Yeah, I think, I connect really deeply with Bella's character. I think I know a lot of people. I'm also a person that has been a victim of sexual assault. So I was able to really connect in that way, but also finding other avenues of, rather than just connecting with my own story and friends of mine's stories, finding other avenues. So I like to watch things. I'm not a huge reader, but I love to watch. So I watched the series Unbelievable, which is incredible. And I think it's just blanked from my mind, but they're like Netflix and ABC have incredible shows that really depict the stories of victims. And so I found that a really helpful way to tap in and recognize the story and see it from that point of view. It's interesting how everybody deals with that trauma response and how Bella deals with that trauma response, and being able to view it rather than just seeing it from my perspective was really helpful in developing Bella's character and story.
Amazing. And obviously having your own experiences and everything like that, we saw the Me Too movement come through during the lockdowns that we mentioned earlier. What does it mean to you to be able to put this character and this issue forefront on stage in a major musical coming to Australia?
It's a voice. It is a voice that we have not seen a hell of a lot of and in theatre, coming out of lockdown when all of this has been at the forefront of social media. It's so great to be jumping into this and for people's voices to be heard and seen in this way as another form of art to tell this very brave story.
Yeah. I think this show does a really good job too, because it doesn't shy away from it. Some shows will have these themes kind of underlying that you've got to try and figure out yourself. This show, with every theme, it's just here's what we're addressing.
You see it. And it's, you see Bella's process going through that. You're literally seeing her think her way and remembering what happened.
Yeah.
And the dissociation that people experience with that as well. So I think it's so important that we see that story develop in that way as well. And even the conscience of what we know is MJ, who's also experienced this.
Yeah.
We see Bella as a reoccurring vision throughout the show.
Yeah.
And how MJ connects to Bella and the dissociation of that. It's just...
I hadn't even thought about that path. So when you're kind of working on this with Liam and Nat and all of that to try and get these things working, what was that like, kind of having those discussions and being cool, this is what we're attacking, this is what we're trying to put on stage for people. What was that process like for you to kind of do the creative and the emotional side of things?
When I was studying beforehand, we implemented the process of checking in and checking out, which is just basically stating your needs to your workmates. If you need anything, how you're feeling on the day, you know, that was an easy way to get into a safe space with each other.
Yeah.
And then also navigating those relationships throughout. It was just, you know, it's a stop, communicate, start again, communicate on how we felt in that process and how, you know, how like the different feelings that our characters could be feeling in each sort of line in each moment. That's kind of how we have navigated all of these scenes. And I'm packing it with Diane as well.
Yeah.
And Leah.
Yeah. Getting into the creative process again after having 2 years away from being creative, what was it like getting back into a rehearsal room and being surrounded by other creatives just all for a common goal?
So amazing and inspiring. Oh my gosh. Like, just, you know, everybody's coming from all different walks of life and everybody's come from a different place in Australia right now, where some people have experienced the lockdown and some people haven't. So all of us were connecting really deeply with the themes and also our different walks, which has been really beautiful. It's been so nice to enter a safe space, to feel comfortable, to unpack all of these topics in a rehearsal space where I'm so passionate about, you know, theatre and something that I love. It's been a really, really pleasant experience.
Yeah. Is there something specific like that you've learned creatively that you're definitely going to take out of this whole process, being your first show and getting into that whole thing? What's it like to kind of reminisce on things at this point before you even open the show?
I think just genuinely connecting with people in the workroom and checking in and seeing how everybody is. I think that's something that is really often forgotten in a workplace environment, but everybody's going through their own stuff. And so I think that is something that I want to continue doing in every workplace and creating a safe space for open dialogue if issues arise. If not, it's just, I think it's a really positive thing to create that environment.
I think it's a really cool thing, like, for all of you guys to take into whatever comes next after the show as well. Like, if we're setting this standard for our cast across the board, doesn't matter what show it is, it's going to create a much better environment in the industry going forward as well, not just,
I think all of us feel exactly that way. We're just like, they're checking in and the keeping open communication is something that each of us will take forward into our careers and into other theatre environments, which is really, really heartwarming.
Getting to sit there and watch this show come together, what's been kind of a standout moment for you? Like, is there something where you've just been like, oh my God, I can't believe I get to work with these people or be a part of this moment?
Watching Mags McKenna in You Want to Know. Holy what a powerhouse. I remember because I wasn't there in the rehearsal room for all of that coming together, and I came in halfway through one day and the whole item was together. And I just came in, I was like, as if you're doing that. As if you're ripping into that song that hard. It just, oh my God, it's amazing.
Made me so excited.
Like, oh my God, I'm so excited for everybody to see You Want to Know, because and if there's not a standing O, I'm running down stage, I'll be like, get up,
this is me.
Get up. that was nuts.
They're incredible.
That's been a very memorable, powerful moment for me in this process. Hooked.
Going from rehearsal room to getting into this refurbished theatre, the theatre that really hasn't been around much in the theatre circles recently here in Sydney. getting into costumes and teching and everything like that, what's this experience been like for you? Like this first professional tech and getting to go from a rehearsal room to this massive stage and get this show set?
Again, overwhelming. Very overwhelming. Trying to map it all out at the moment is a bit of organized chaos.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, there's so many people around just trying to get their traps sorted. So it honestly, it's been a little bit stressful and a little bit chaotic, but it will, like things do, it will magically find its place and come together perfectly in time.
Yeah.
But everyone is being really like generous and caring towards each other, just and considerate that there's a bit of chaos happening, but it will work, it will find its way.
Yeah.
It's also really fascinating, like how many crew there is. Like I did not expect to see so many people working around you. Like there's dressers, we've got technical people, lights, props, like there's so many people in every aspect of it that you just don't, like when you're watching theater, you don't think of that stuff. And it's so important to recognize all of these extra parts that are involved in the process.
That's it's not just the 30 people on stage, it's the other 100 people around the theater.
Oh my gosh. I went and saw Merrily We Roll Along the other week, and coming into tech, I was like, there's only like 7 people on stage, but I would love to know how many people are backstage.
Yeah.
How many people are working behind the guns doing all of that. That's been real, very fascinating.
What was your exposure to Alanis prior to this show?
Oh my God. Drunken karaoke. My parents, drunken karaoke.
Yeah.
That's that was probably my eye opener to Alanis. Yeah. But when I've when I was telling people that I was doing Jagged Little Pill, they're going, Alanis Morissette, and I was like, you've got to know the song Ironic, like a little too ironic, and everyone's like, oh yes. Yeah. So you know, Ironic and You Want to Know are classics. But
is there a song you've discovered through this whole show that you're like, oh, this is like, that was my thing. It was like, there were so many songs I was like, oh my God, how haven't I heard this? Like this slaps. Like
it was Forgiven for me.
Yep.
Forgiven is a powerhouse number. Like in what they've done with Forgiven in the musical is so powerful. But then even listening to Alanis Morissette, I've just like felt it so hard. I felt it so hard.
Yeah.
But that's been a real standout and one that I didn't really notice, but hadn't heard before.
Yeah. 9 days until you get to tell this story. Not to drop that number from 10 and put it in single digits and scare you a little.
Thanks.
What are you most excited for to get this from kind of peers and everybody that you've kind of been around rehearsing the show with to an audience that's most likely probably 95% seeing this for the first time? What are you most excited for about getting to present this story to an audience?
I watched a couple of videos of Katherine Gallagher, and they had said that people would come to the stage door and they like creating a safe space on stage. It invited people to come and say, I've experienced this as well. And I'm interested to see if that's something that happens in Australia, if people are open enough to being able to share their experiences, because I'm so open to having those conversations and so open and happy to listen and hear and like proud. I would be proud to feel that that has been created in Australia as well as in America. So that excites me. I mean, I can only hope. But I think it's going to leave a lot of people walking away thinking about their own personal experiences, whether it's how they connect with Bella, how they connect with Nick, Joe, MJ. You know, I think there's a little slice of everybody that can connect with these characters.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I said this to Liam the other day, is that there's something for everybody. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. There's a theme. There's a moment in this show that everybody will connect to from whatever perspective it is. And it all, I'm actually like tearing up thinking about this, guys. Holy crap. Oh. We're getting emotional. Oh. Wow. it's just one of those shows that I don't know how it does it, but it just makes you think about everything. And it's just gonna be really great to hear those conversations after of people walking out of the theater and be like, wow, I feel challenged about this, or wow, I never thought about this way, or oh my god, like I've been privy to this X, da, 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 da. I think especially after the last 2 years and everything that's come to the forefront of social commentary, I think this show is the perfect show to be like, hey, let's keep pushing these conversations.
Let's unpack it and let's see it and let's push it.
How good.
How good.
If you could, now you're the first person I've asked this to out of this show. If you could perform any other song in the show that isn't one of your own, what would you like to be?
I am obsessed with That I Would Be Good, that Phoenix, Frankie and Joe get to sing. I would love to be a part of that three-part harmony. Oh my goodness. or So Unsexy. I think So Unsexy.
I love that.
I know.
That was one of my songs that I was like, this is actually such a good song. And then like in the context of the show, it's just like, this is so well put together. Like just so well.
I know. Tim and that, and also Georgina, who's covering MJ, they are just so beautiful to watch singing that song. But we were rehearsing it yesterday and Tim came off stage. He was like, oh, I was like, that was so beautiful. You've got to like walk away from that. He sounds so incredible singing that. And so does Georgina and so does Nat. It's just such a lovely song. Oh,
I'm so excited now. This is so going to be so
good. I know. Talking about it with some, like a, I don't know, someone with a like fresh outsider perspective, it's made me feel more excited.
Yeah.
So I think it's throughout the heat of the rehearsal process in tech,
you kind of get into like that tunnel of we're doing a show. And now you get to kind of look at it from that outside perspective a little bit.
Yeah. Which I've been like, I've been holding on to this feeling once we start shows where I'm starting to feel excited about being able to put it on rather than be the heat of tech and the heat of rehearsal. 100%.
What's been your favorite moment of this like whole experience from start to end? Is there something that sticks out to you that is like, this is just really cool that I get to do this as a job, especially after the last 2 years of having no creative outlet? Like, has there been one of those moments for you where you're like, this is my job?
Oh yeah. I think it was actually Emily who, we were walking home one day and she called it work. And I was like, holy shit, this is work.
Yeah.
I could call this my job. But also in the rehearsal room, I think because a lot of us were over Zoom for the first 2 weeks of our rehearsals. So I think when everyone was finally in the room, and that was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're putting on a show. Like, this is happening. And then like, again, also stepping into the theater, I think it was probably yesterday. Actually, I honestly think it was yesterday that the excitement actually bottled up, and I was like, this is really happening.
You're at that point now in that pre-prep of a show where it's like, okay, we're close. Let's go.
We're close. We are so close. And, you know, there's one and a bit more weeks left of tech and dress rehearsals. And it's going to be very, very exciting for this show to open. You're making me excited.
talking about that's my job. let's look forward to the future as well, because like you've got 4 weeks in Sydney and then you get to take this show home. So are you, what's the feeling in being able to take this back to Melbourne, especially after everything that you guys went through down there? Obviously I'm from New South Wales, so I didn't feel it as hard up here, but what does it mean to you being able to take this show, your first show, and be able to go back home with it as well?
I think I'm excited for a lot of my friends to see it. My family's up in Queensland, so they'll be seeing it here. But I think a lot of the friends and the networks that I've made in Melbourne, I think they've known me for the last 4 years and have never really seen me do anything in theatre. So I'm really excited for that to open up and for friends of mine to see another side of me that they're probably going to be like, what? You do this? But I'm also excited to just bring this to a Melbourne, like Victorian audience, because I think, you know, everyone's very open to these conversations, and I've had a lot of these conversations throughout lockdown of the Me Too, Black Lives Matter, all of everything, all of this has come to the forefront. And so I'm really excited for Victorians to see all of this expressed in a theatre environment. For those who like going to theatre, friends of mine who probably never seen a musical in their life are going to come and see it, and this is going to be the musical that they're going to see. So I think that's really exciting for me. Hopefully drawing people who usually aren't into theatre coming into the theatre to watch something, because everyone deserves to see this.
I think it's just it's going to be a really cool thing for Australian audiences, because we've never had something this raw on our stages, I don't think. But also something so prevalent in the society right now. I think it's just going to be really, really cool to just watch the reaction of everyone to this show. It's just, I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for you guys to like just see the outpouring now. This is going to be really cool.
I'm keen to hear what the response is, what the general response is, and what makes people, you know, tick, and what makes people feel what, because people will step out of it and go, oh my god, this part or this part or this part. I think I can't wait to hear some of the stories and some of the responses from that.
Amazing. Well, guys, we are super excited here. And that is going to wrap up this episode. You guys are going to want to get tickets. The show is live now, even though we're talking kind of back in the past. By the time you're listening to this, you can go see the show probably tonight. So make sure you finish this podcast, go to jaggedmusical.com, get your tickets. Because you are not going to want to miss this. This is a fantastic show, and I am so excited to see these guys put it on. It is going to be absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for joining us, Grace. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh. You've made my morning. I'm so excited.
Take this energy back into tech and just get everyone else pumped.
I'm going to go into tech feeling so inspired and be like, all right,
Let's go, baby. Let's go. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, and we will see you next week with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.